In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest this go-round is New York City-based guitar slinger Steve Conti. His sideman career has led him to land spots in the reformed New York Dolls, as well as his current gig alongside Michael Monroe and the Michael Monroe Band. But throughout, he's pursued a solo career, and his latest single, 4th of July, is out now on Wicked Cool Records. It's also a recent coolest song in the world. I'll play some of it now, followed by our chat on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Time for today's coolest conversations in Little Stevens Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and my guest is rock and roll guitarist Steve Conti, whose long resume includes playing in the reformed New York Dolls, and currently is in the Michael Monroe Band, and he is also pursuing his solo career throughout. In fact, his latest solo single, 4th of July, is this week's coolest song in the world. Hi, Steve, how are you?
Hey, Manfred, and everybody out there. I'm great. Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be back on with you, man.
Great to have you again with us. Now, Today is the 7th, Friday the 7th, so you've had a couple of days to recover from the holiday. How did you spend the 4th?
In Finland. Nothing more American than that. As I've described in the some of the press about the song 4th of July, it's not really a patriotic American Independence Day kind of a song. So, it wasn't like I completely missed the 4th here in the States and the fireworks and all that. But sat in a Helsinki hotel room, man. like I spend most of my life when I'm over there touring with Michael.
Did you shoot off? Well, like, do you have any memories? Like growing up as a kid, was there any special 4th of July or what is it? Like growing up as a kid, what are your memories of the 4th of July? Would you have the family ever get together, or you go see fireworks shows? Or?
Oh yeah. Well, when I was a little kid, I grew up in upstate New York. I lived in Buffalo for quite a few years, and Utica, well, around some small towns around Utica, and we used to go to this place called Baker's Beach, which is basically, it's lakes up there. There's no beach, but so I just have these fond, vivid memories of like barbecuing, like grilling at a lake. Smell charcoal, I'm immediately transported back to those 4th of Julys with the extended family, my grandfather, my uncles, all gone now, but I was playing frisbee and my uncle whacking me on the butt with a plastic baseball bat. It was good times as a kid. And then, you know, as I got older, and I moved to New York City, I used to go every year to the FDR Drive, where the best view of the East Side fireworks were, and we'd hang out on the FDR Drive, and everybody would bring chairs and beers and, you know, watch the fireworks. I made the mistake of bringing my dog there once, and boy, I had to leave right away. My dog freaked out, couldn't take it. It was like whining and yelping, and we just had to go home.
Well, I know exactly what that's like. The fourth here in my neighborhood is like a war zone. And when I tell people that, they think I'm exaggerating, but I'm absolutely not. It's just constant barrage for 4 hours of nonstop fireworks. And it's like the folks are like bringing stuff up from Mexico, and they're like this kind of stuff that would shoot off at Dodger Stadium, but it's being shot off in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know,
it's amazing. It's unbelievable. And the dog, of course, is now this is the only time of the year where he will open up the kitchen cabinets and get into and go back and burrow into the underneath the sinks and underneath where the pots and pans are and hide. He was so terrified. It's pretty, pretty heavy stuff. And then, of course, two things. One, normally this time of the year, it's so dry. So it's always like, well, do we burn LA down this? We're going to burn LA down tonight. And then the second part of that is that it's just the air is just afterwards is just like, wow, so bad.
Like you guys need more of that.
Exactly. It's like having a wildfire, you know, right there in your backyard. I suppose if I get up on the top of this ridge, this Mount Washington, you're looking out, that can look kind of cool, but then you have to like walk back down into the air, you know. It's just gross. On 4th of July, I was looking at the while I was playing on there, you got your brother John on it, right? Is he playing bass?
Yeah, John's playing bass. I'm playing guitars and organ. And it's the great Prairie Prince on drums from The Tubes and Todd Rundgren, and who also plays on the XTC album, Skylarking, my favorite XTC album, or one of them. And Andrew Hollander, my remote co-producing buddy, was playing piano. And I thought it was fitting to have Prairie join us for this. He's on 7 songs on the album, including the 5 that I wrote with Andy Partridge of XTC. And I'm very excited that this song is my first release that's a co-write with one of my favorite songwriters of all time.
Right, we're talking Andy Partridge.
Yeah, Andy Partridge, man.
I'm very curious. So how did you guys meet? When did you start working together?
Well, let's see. It goes back to about 2003. My guitar repairman here in New York was building a guitar for Andy, and he told me that, and I said, oh my God, I can't believe you're working with Andy. I said, please give him my record, my latest record, which was a band I have with my brother John called The Contis. Bleed Together is the name of the album. It's out there on all the services. My friend Dennis Fanna was the guitar repairman. He gave Andy the CD, and Andy apparently liked it. We didn't have any contact, but I heard back through Dennis that, he really dug it and blah, blah, blah. He would love to do something with it, but his label was not in a position at the moment or whatever, you know. Who knows? But he became aware of me, I guess, in my writing, and it's a really good, it's a really adventurous album, so I thought he would like it. It goes from power pop to weird kind of like psychedelic lounge stuff and all kinds of weird stuff, so I figured he'd dig it. So I guess he, sort of assessed my talent at that point and kind of filed it away for later. And then flash forward to about 2009 or 10, I met Steve Lillywhite, producer, and we became really good friends. We used to hang all the time. I subbed for him on his radio program. He was doing a thing from East Village Radio down here in the East Village. And I was a sub DJ for him, and I came on his show and guested and did acoustic performances and stuff. And so one day he and I were and we used to hang out, and we were chatting on Twitter, and something about XTC came up. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Steve Lillywhite, who's produced, you know, everybody from Johnny Thunders to the Stones to U2, also produced a couple of my favorite XTC albums, Black Sea and Drums and Wires. So we were chatting on Twitter, and we somehow roped Andy into the conversation. Andy was on Twitter as the handle XTC Fans, and Andy was actually fielding the, you know, the posts and replying. And we started chatting, and Andy was like, he knew that I was in the Dolls at that point, and he said, oh my God, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be in the Dolls, and I sent David Johansen a letter, and, you know, told him, professing my love, and told him I was going to change my name and to Lord Andrew English, and I wanted to be the guitarist to replace Thunders after he, you know, him and Jerry Nolan left.
Right.
And so that was a nice little Dolls connection there. And then he somehow found out that I was touring with Monroe and Alice Cooper, and I was going to be in Swindon. And he wrote me a note saying, I hear you're going to be in my shithole town. I'll take you to lunch, my treat. And I was like, this is way too cool, man. You know, so when we played in this, what was the name of it? It was called Oasis, actually. It's like a you know, decent.
An Oasis in the shithole town.
Yeah, I rumor has it that's where the band Oasis got their name from. But yeah, it was a nice size concert venue, and you know, we pulled in there, did our sound check, and then Andy and his partner, engineer partner Stu Rowe, picked me up in the parking lot. It was the first time I met him face to face, and we just got on like a house on fire, as they say. We hung out all day, swapped guitars back and forth, you know. I said, hey, how do you play Scarecrow People, one of his XTC songs, and he showed me, and I played some jazzy licks, and he said, ooh, show me that. You know, we didn't like actually jam. We had one guitar between us.
Yeah.
We got along really well, and just, it was like I'd known him my whole life. We just had laughs and watched crazy YouTube videos, and he played me some of his 5.1 XTC remixes that he's doing. And then, like, so that was like 2015. So, you know, this year I had been listening to interviews by him and following. He had put out this record called My Failed Songwriting Career recently because he had been writing, you know, people know he's an amazing songwriter and lyrical genius. So they call on him to write with them. But apparently a lot of these people never used the songs that he wrote for them.
Man.
So he put out this record called My Failed Songwriting Career. And I was like, you know what? If I ever wrote a song with Andy Partridge, there's no way I would never put that song out, you know?
Right.
It's just too important to me because I'm a huge fan and, you know, massive respect for him. So when it came time to do this new record that I'm doing now for Wicked Cool, I reached out and I said, Andy, I emailed him and said, would you like to write my next Wicked Cool single? And he wrote back, well, Steve, I sort of swore off, you know, songwriting with other people, but it's not a no. And so I took that as, you know, all right, this is hopeful for the future. Let me whip up something and send him a demo or something. So I whipped up this pretty cool demo of a song I've been writing and sent it to him. It was arranged with, like, it had strings and, you know, all kinds of stuff, but it was a rocker.
Yeah.
You know, in very like Beatles, Beach Boys, XTC kind of style. And I sent it to him and he said, hey, sounds great, Steve, but, you know, I can't add anything to this. It's already done. He says, why don't we start something from scratch? I was like, yes. He said, let's do a Zoom. So we did a 2-hour Zoom and we came up with four songs. The first one, we did a bunch of Zooms, but the first one we came up with four songs, and 4th of July was not one of them yet. And, you know, some of them were kind of arty and, you know, maybe not underground garage, wicked cool, usual fare, you know?
Yeah.
So, after we kind of went back and forth, I you know, we came up with the initial ideas together, and then I would take it back to my studio and mess with it and change some chords and rearrange it and maybe add a bridge myself and to the verse and chorus we came up with together. I added a lot of bridges. And we'd send it back and forth. He'd say, this needs a stronger melody here, or this lyric isn't quite right yet. And finally, you know, we got where we both approved, okay, this song is done. And we did that with those four songs. And, you know, Steven is always, little Steven Van Zandt, he's always very busy. And I sent him, I think I sent him all four of the songs, and I don't remember what the, if the response took a long time or whatever, but I thought, well, maybe he's not feeling it. So I just reached back out to Andy and I said, I'm not sure that these are something for my single. I said, why don't we put on our Dukes of the Stratosphere hat? Okay. Do you know that band? It was XTC. XTC's side project, right. Psychedelic 60s thing. So we approached the next Zoom session with that in mind, and we wrote four more. And one of them was 4th of July, which is a hook that I brought in. I had for years, and three others. And that's how that happened. I think we did about three or four Zooms. And so 4th of July is, it's a song that I had that hook, and I tried to bring it into a couple of my bands, my band, the Crown Jewels, back in the 90s and with my brother. And, you know, just never got off the ground. I never had a verse that I liked. The hook was complete. But Andy heard, I played Andy the hook, and he was like, oh yeah, I know exactly where it should go. And he went to this verse and was like, why didn't I think of that? Because I'm not Andy Partridge. And so it's a really true co-write. My chorus, his verse. And he came up with a great, like, 12-string sounding guitar line, and we tweaked the lyrics together, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, does he actually play on the recording?
No, he was in the middle of a project, and he was not feeling terribly like he wanted to, you know, record and sing and play. I asked him, anything you'd like to do on the album, let me know, I guess he was busy, and I was just happy to have Andy Partridge writing songs with me, you know?
Right. So when and where did you actually record the tune?
So I cut the song at Renegade Studios, which is Little Steven's place in New York City, and Jeff Sanoff engineering and mixing the song. And I did the overdubs back at my studios, my home studio, which is, I do acoustic guitars and tambourines and vocals here in the house, in the apartment, really. And then my loud studio, which is in Midtown Manhattan, where I can crank it up and, you know, crank up the 100-watt Marshall and Les Paul and play solos and stuff like that. So, between those three studios, it was done, and it was mixed by Jeff and mastered in upstate New York. And there we have it. And the B-side, it's on a limited not quite awake. It's on limited edition 7-inch vinyl, cloudy blue vinyl, which is very cool. The B-side is a song called Poison Candy Heart.
And I wanted us to talk about that in a couple of moments here, the Mark Mulcahy tune. But focused on the rest of the upcoming album. So that, when do you expect that will get released?
That's the million-dollar question. I am currently, I have four more songs to sing. Six out of 10 are done. Four more to sing, and I'm leaving the country in less than a week, and I'm like singing and then running into the studio with Jeff to mix, and then coming home and singing, and then, you know, so we're pretty much caught up with everything that's been recorded and ready to mix. So now Jeff is just waiting on my vocals to mix the remaining six songs. And until I turn them all in, mixed and mastered, I won't know a release date. So hopefully I'm going to do that before I leave for the summer, which is a very optimistic timeline. But it may honestly, go into the summer, and we may have to finalize the mixes from the other side of the ocean, you know?
Well, you know, God, you seem so busy. I know that in, was it like back in 2018, you worked with fellow Wicked Cool Records artist Brian Ray on a single, the song, was it Trash Man? You guys co-wrote that, right?
Oh, yeah, Trash Man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so earlier this year, Brian asked me to join him in the studio just to sort of scream and
oh yeah,
some backing vocals on another tune you guys were working on. It's like a Halloween song. Now, is that still up in the air, or is that the Halloween?
We're sort of looking for we have a band, and I won't announce the name yet, but it's a band project. Me and Brian, we are just looking for like an open, you know, window of time where either he or I don't have songs out on the Underground Garage.
Right.
Because, you know, we can't dominate the airwaves there, you know? So, you know, between his records being out now and my singles coming out, we're looking for that opening where that could come out. That would, you know, if I don't get another single out by the fall, there's a possibility that song might come out in the fall for Halloween. But
well, that would be cool.
It's kind of a spook. It's kind of a spooky song,
and it's frighteningly great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we recorded one of his and one of mine in New York at Renegade with my brother on bass and Charlie Drayton from the Expensive Winos on drums. It went really well, and it's going to be a really fun project.
Well, there's like a whole laundry list of stuff you're involved in. You know, we were playing Leather Cat Suit here on the air now with Kim Olin fronting the band, but you're like the guitarist on that EP, that debut Leather Cat Suit EP, right?
Yeah, basically Kim gave me a bunch of cassette demos of bands that she's had over the years, and I had to sort of decipher what was going on with the songs, and I rolled my sleeves up and got involved in some of the writing, because some of the stuff was sort of unfinished. And basically, I put the band together for her. I produced it, played all the guitars and keyboards and string arrangements and mandolins and all kinds of ukuleles and crazy stuff. And I did it between tracks at Renegade and, you know, the same two studios, you know, my home studio for vocals and acoustic stuff, and then my loud studio for electric guitars, and that's the record. It's Johnny Paisano and John Weber from Willie Niles Band on bass and drums, and me.
Well, do you think anytime this fall you guys would do any shows as Leather Cat Suit?
No, I'm not. I don't have any time to be involved in another band. I mean, between my own project and the Monroe touring situation, and you know, being a dad. I got a full plate.
You do. Well, so let's talk about the B-side, the Poison Candy Heart. That is the new singles B-side. Mark Mulcahy from Miracle Legion and Polaris wrote the tune. I guess maybe it's like a solo song for him. Well, when did you first hear it, and why did you decide to cover it?
You know, remember Pledge Music back in the day, like early, like about 2013-14? So Pledge Music was a crowdfunding site where people could pledge money, you know, you could sell your, you know, guitar strings for money for your record and whatever, and, you know, promise people their name on the record, or, you know, signed lyric sheets and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So I did a Pledge Music campaign for my album, 2014 album, the Steve Conti NYC album, it was called. You guys played OK DJ on the air. I think that was the coolest song as well.
That may have been the first time we spoke even.
Yeah, I don't remember if we did a coolest conversation. But anyway, that's when I did that record. One of my Pledge exclusives was people could request me to do an acoustic version of a song for, I don't remember the dollar amount that they would have to pledge for that, but someone requested that I do that song. I'd never heard the name Mark Mulcahy. I never heard the song. And luckily, I really liked the song. And I think it's a really cool song. And I did a really cool recording of it. And, you know, I own the recording. So I thought when it came time for a B-side for this, I thought, what song goes along with 4th of July, you know, stylistically? And it was kind of the perfect fit. It's just me on acoustic guitar, and I'm like drumming on the back of an acoustic as my percussion. And that's it. It's just me, myself, and I.
Right, and you're singing some backing vocals there too with yourself.
Yeah. It's not totally live, but I think I doubled the acoustic guitar, or there's another guitar that comes in and plays a riff. But it's all acoustic and vocals and banging on the guitar body.
Well, it's a really cool song. When I think of candy hearts, I think of those little hard candies that have phrases like "you're cute" on them.
Oh yeah. Like the Valentine's Day things you used
to, that's it. Yeah,
you bring into your class and give to your sweetie. Yeah.
Right. And so, in fact, you know, so I was thinking, oh, yeah, 4th of July, and then you kind of got this Valentine's Day thing kind of going on there. Well, go ahead.
I never noticed that. Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
it's a holiday 45 single.
It is. It's truly a holiday 45. You know, you put that single on and you're taking a vacation.
At one part of the year or another. Yeah.
Steve, I want to thank you so much for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, man. My pleasure. Anytime. Look forward to speaking with you again and seeing you out there sometime, seeing the Woggles, or hey, maybe doing a gig together.
And that sounds great to me. So we got to take a listen. Take a listen to the new B-side. It's Poison Candy Heart from Steve Conti and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
One, two, three. You foolish little waste of time. You pucker up like lemon lime. I'm sinking into your corduroy. I saw you kissing the paper boy. You're smart enough to keep it light. You call me up with a landmine. Driving drunk with a baby in the trunk, and the whole town knows you're no good. You're no good, you're no good. Hardly ever say yes. Oh, baby, try the sofa. Who's gonna clean this up? Probably me, like I always do. You got a poison candy heart. You're serious but wonderful. Reckless as a chainsaw.
Some of Poison Candy Heart, Steve Conti here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. That song done first by Mark Mulcahy of Miracle Legion. Steve's version, though, is the B-side to his latest single, 4th of July, that's out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Steve for joining me on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Mark Ribbler is Little Steven's music director for the Disciples of Soul, and he's got a solo single out now on Wicked Cool called Armageddon. He'll be my guest next time around and tell us all about it. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Like I always do. You're happiest when I'm not. Oh,
Betty, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.